morning and welcome to Shouting Mess, a program devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who know that every one of the world's religious, political, economic, academic, military, and media institutions are corrupt, and that all of these things are counterproductive and cannot be fixed. If you'd like to join us in this discussion, it's toll-free, 877-300-7645. I am Yada. Reuters is telling us that the Obama Nation said that the Islamic State was a brutal, vicious death cult. You know, he finally got something right. You know, credit where credit is due. It is absolutely true. The Islamic State is a brutal, vicious death cult. That's because the Islamic State is Islamic. Islam has been a brutal, vicious death cult ever since it was conceived by Muhammad. Its first official act was the Pledge of Aqaba. And the Pledge of Aqaba, after Muhammad left Mecca in shame following the satanic verses, he found 12 Arab pagans who pledged that they would wage war on behalf of Muhammad against all mankind. Well, that would be a death cult. He said that, you know, if you do this for me and when you do this for me, then you get 80% of whatever you steal. I get 20. And in addition to that, I have this God. Now, this God looks and talks a lot like me. But I have this God that has promised that if you die killing and robbing others for me, that he will reward you with a great luxury in paradise, virgins, and rivers that flow with wine. That's how Islam was born. There is no denying that. It is the Pledge of Aqaba. It is detailed in every one of the initial Islamic sources. And, of course, the first act after the Pledge of Aqaba was to demonstrate precisely what Muhammad meant. His definition of war wasn't armies clashing. No, his definition of war and of fighting, of jihad, was and continues to be terrorism. It is when armed belligerents attack either unarmed or lightly armed civilians for the express purpose of robbing them, enslaving them, and raping them. Muhammad initiated the raid against his neighbors in Mecca, against some merchants who were traveling in a caravan throughout the desert trying to earn a living, and he lay in wait deliberately to attack them. And the Quran in the 8th surah chronicles the attack where he created all manner of Quranic verses to justify the unjustifiable. He was not only brutal, mutilating the bodies of those he killed. He robbed them, and then those who survived, he kidnapped for ransom. Islam is a brutal, vicious death cult. That is precisely how Muhammad conceived it. That is the story of the Quran. That's how Islam was born. That is what Islam is. The Obaminator said it speaks that it carries out unspeakable acts of barbarism in the name of religion. That is also true. Muhammad led and inspired 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. Unspeakable acts of barbarism were committed. In one day, Muhammad cut off the heads, decapitated 900 men and boys. Every time that he would conquer a community, his men would rape the women who survived the attack. They would always enslave the children. Unspeakable acts of barbarism, all in the name of his religion, a religion named submission, Islam. These things have not changed. At least the Obaminator, for once, has it right. Of course, that wasn't his intent. But what he said was actually true. He said the Islamic State militants who, you know, had previously shown a video of a staged killing. This one, a man in a cage with the fire going around the cage, but never burning the individual. Said that they were terrorizing religious minorities like the Yazidis, subjecting women to rape as a weapon of war, and claiming the mantle of religious authority. It's also true. Muhammad said, I have become victorious with terror. When armed militants, jihadists in the case of Islam, mujahideen, holy warriors, attack unarmed or lightly armed civilians for the express purpose of robbing them, enslaving them, raping them, killing the men so that they would have these opportunities. That is terrorism. You know, when terror is defined as an armed attack against civilians. And so Muhammad led 75 terrorist raids. He never once attacked an army. He never once fought in a military battle. 100% of the time, he was the aggressor and his foes were civilians. That's why he said, I've become victorious with terror. He led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. And everyone he attacked was part of a religious minority. He attacked Zoroastrians, just as the Yazidis are Zoroastrians. He attacked Christians. He feasted on Jews. And, of course, he attacked pagan Arabs. Every time he attacked, he subjected the women to rape as a weapon, claiming a justification and religious authority. In fact, that is the express purpose of the Quran. For the first time in his life, Barack Obama told the truth. I don't think we should credit him, however, because his intent was to deceive. We have our good friend Glenn on the line. Glenn, good morning to you. It is even morning where you are on the other side of the country this fine day. Glenn, are you buried under snow? If you are, we can't hear you. Oh, I can hear you now.
I'm here. Good. Hello.
Yeah, okay.
Good morning. Hasn't been too bad here. A little rainy, misty, little black ice here and there. But I always say that region does get bad stuff, but we never seem to get the worst of the worst. So we're good.
Well, this house that I'm packing up for sale, the sun is streaming through the trees. The mountains are kind of a combination of shadows and sunlight at the moment. It's a brisk 65 and climbing to 75 today here in Paradise.
Ah, in Paradise. Yes, just don't use any water.
It's winter time here, so we received about 15 inches of rain so far this winter, which is slightly above average. So far, so good for
I was referring to the state and local water.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, they'll be back. They'll be back with their even more severe punishment for those of us who think it's appropriate to water a plant. This coming summer. My expectation is that having seen the great popularity of the 100 lashes for the, or the 1,000 lashes, I guess it is, for the man in Saudi Arabia who is said to have insulted Islam, that maybe they'll go from monetary fines to lashing. You know, that it's interesting that the Montecito Water District, which is what we're mocking here, they came up with this great plan that they would make their customers enemies. that they would find him. And then they came up with another part of the plan and fined him gargantuan fines if they used so much as 40% of the water they had used the previous year. So if you use 41% of last year's water, oh, you're going to be fined and fined heavily. And then they decided that the next thing is that as a provider of water, they would severely limit the water that can have and threaten to turn off your supply if you used anywhere close to half of what you used the previous year. And they can't figure out why, under such circumstances, they didn't sell enough water to break even. In fact, they lost, I believe the number is $5 million as an operating loss last year, having turned all of their customers into to enemies. It's a brilliant group of civil servants.
The joys of corruption. I'm not kidding. Around here, we have billboards that say, at about a penny a gallon, water is a real value. And that's interesting. And then people around, and then we'll buy bottled water and spend more per gallon for it than we do for gasoline. And people think that's enough.
Water districts can profitably sell water at a penny a gallon. The problem we have is that unlike the Romans, unlike the Babylonians, unlike the Egyptians, unlike the Greeks, we are unwilling to build aqueducts. Now, we built them for a brief period of time, but America no longer builds anything. And so we no longer distribute water. You know, the Romans figured out that most people didn't want to live where it rained constantly. And where people wanted to live, there wasn't enough water. So what you have to do is you have to transport the water from where it is to where people want to consume it. And the Romans were really good at that a couple of thousand years ago. But I guess America is no longer, even though it has tried to copy all things Roman, it has shelved the industrial building aspect of Rome.
The Romans certainly had a grasp of infrastructure with, they built roads, and there were even little water gutters or ducts that ran through the Colosseum and stuff like that,
As evil as they were, and that was the most evil, the most vicious empire in human history, for as disgusting as the Romans were, they were good at some things. It's like all forms of evil. There is no form of evil that is bad at everything. Romans are a perfect case. Glenn, I suspect that you didn't call to talk about Roman aqueducts, but perhaps instead about Obama actually describing Islam correctly as a brutal, vicious death cult perpetrating unspeakable acts of barbarism, terrorizing religious minorities like the Yazidis, subjecting women to rape as a weapon of war, and claiming the mantle of religious authority.
Now, don't put words in his mouth, yada. No. He was much more specific. He said ISIS, not Islam, per se. But he did pick on Christianity at the National Prayer Breakfast when he mentioned crusades and inquisition and stuff like that. In other words, saying that people groups, and it's interesting. On the one hand, he says, we have a tendency to do, like these kinds of things, and I guess meaning humanity at large, but, in which case, I guess we all have to be watched, because we have a tendency.
Oh, yeah, that's the overall mankind. Non-enlightened mankind is a brutal thug that has to be watched and controlled by enlightened humans. This is the Adam Weishaupt Illuminati theory. It's a theory that has great influence in the world today. That's why, even though I don't like conspiracy theories, because I think there's all sorts of problems promoting conspiracy theories, Adam Weishaupt is an interesting character. He did come up with the concept that humans require authority, but the authority ought to be the most enlightened individuals. Barack Obama would view himself as one of the most enlightened, and therefore he would present theories like what he just did, where he says that, we have a tendency to be bad and we need to be watched. Now, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about the masses, and he would be one of the watchers in control. Right. It's Animal Farm, Brave New World.
careful about how he moved things right along. He gave a little thunk on ISIS, just, you know, playing whack-a-mole. He gave ISIS a whack, but not as long as old. Then he gave Christianity a whack, and then he gave the general populace a whack.
Yeah, you know? One question I do have, because I did not hear the comments, and I was reading the Reuters article, and it says U.S. President Barack Obama said on Thursday the Islamic State was, and then the quote begins, brutal, vicious death cult. So they never, the quote does not begin with Islamic State, and you're right, he would never have called, used the term Islamic State. The question I have, however, is, you know, he switched, and the Obama administration switched to a new term that means cutthroat in a local dialect, and he was using that term to label them, but that didn't catch on, did it?
You know what? I'm not even aware of that. What was the term? Do you know?
I've said it on the show a couple of times. And he was trying to sell a different name. And the reason he was trying to sell a different name in the local dialect for cutthroat was that just even using ISIS, and he didn't like ISIS. He was ISIL. For Levant instead of Greater Syria,
which is an academic ridiculous.
Yes. So he didn't like ISIS or ISIL because, first of all, everybody stopped using ISIL. He was the only one using it, and then he went to the cutthroat, and that didn't fly. But he can't stand having to use IS or ISIS. First of all, they're no longer ISIS, so they
Islamic in it.
Right, because they're no longer the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. They're simply the Islamic State, and he didn't want to call them the Islamic State because that destroys that makes the connection he's trying to sever.
I wonder what the local term is for those who rain flaming death from above randomly.
It's called the United States of America.
That's it.
You know, it's kind of interesting that I was just thinking this worldwide desire among politicians, the militaries, the media, to disassociate Islam from the acts that Muslims perpetrate, from the life of Muhammad, from the nature of Muhammad, from the very nature of the Islamic scriptural sources, is really identical to Christians separating, disassociating their Jesus Christ from his actual history, his life, his words, his deeds, and the scriptures that he walked out of the pages from.
It's a mythologizing. We're going to make this be what we want it to be. We're not going to look at what
right.
it really
yeah,
was.
Yeah, we don't it. Don't much like what it is. So we're just going to make it what we're going to shape it in an image that we like.
Right. Brother.
Yeah, we'll be back after the commercial break, and we'll continue to talk through the news. There is much happening in the world today. Welcome back to Shattering Mess. Reuters is reporting that 73% of us, of respondents in a recent poll, want regulations put on lightweight, remote-controlled drones. However, 73% don't see any problem with police and the government using them. Now, they're worried about drones being used by private citizens to spy on them, but they're not worried about the government using the drones to spy on them. What do you think, Glenn? We think we have a public that's not very well informed on who owns drones and what the rules are on their operation, and when do you think this is going to be, that America is going to be the land of the drones? We're going to have the drone wars.
No. The answer to the drones eventually will become, and I remember saying this actually really over a year ago.
you broke up there. What would you say?
The answer to the drones will become... When it gets to the Skynet time, it's time to take them back.
It appears that America's drone wars overseas, it's an absolute, unassailable fact that our drone wars overseas have been counterproductive. That For example, we use them aggressively to kill the majority of the 200 members that were originally part of the Islamic, it was called Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula, AQAP. And we killed the with drones, the majority of those individuals and their families. And yet, by doing so, we removed the only effective force against the Shiite minority, the Houthis in Yemen, and they took down the government. So I would score that for we lost that one. And then in Pakistan, of course, we've killed about 4,000 people with our drones. In the process of doing that, we have made the Taliban immensely popular. So I would score that for a strikeout in the drones. And then we've started using drones in Somalia for the purpose of getting rid of the lads, Al-Shabaab. And while we've been doing that, the Somalian militants, these Islamic militants, Al-Shabaab, the lads, have been conducting extraordinarily deadly raids into Kenya. I guess because we're not sending our drones into Kenya. But nonetheless, the hell zone that was Somalia is still a hell zone post the drone attacks. But now it's branched out and they're the same Islamic terrorist group are terrorizing Kenya. So I would say we struck out.
We have various foreign policy doctrines. This is the Barney Fife foreign policy doctrine. We shoot yourself in the foot at every possible opportunity.
Yeah. And that the world is ours, so we can send in the drones, no matter whose airspace it might be, or whose country it might be, or whose citizens they might be. No trial, no due process, no conviction. It's simply the Obaminator deciding, I don't like you, so I'm going to kill you. Now, there used to be a term for that. It was a really fancy term. You'd find it in most dictionaries. It's kind of hidden. It's I think it was murder. Murder. Yeah, that was the term. When you kill someone on a premeditated basis because you don't like them, and there is no judicial process, there's no hearing, there's no indictment, there's no trial. There's no conviction. You just kill them because you don't like them. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's murder. Am I using the term correctly?
I believe so, yeah. And some of the guys piloting those drones are 4 miles from my house.
They've got a lot of those bases. What they basically do, by the way, before we get to how the problem with the drones and the mentality of them, those who would say, no, this is not murder because we're engaged in war against terrorism. No, we're not. We never declared war against Pakistan, against Somalia, against Yemen. Never declared war against those countries. B, we've never declared war against Islam, and 100% of our targets have been Islamic clerics and Islamic militants. And three, there isn't a single one of those that we have killed that was responsible for killing an American.
Well, yeah, and this has been in place a long time. I mean, we used to, look, the weasel worders control this stuff. We used to have a Department of War.
Right.
And we used to declare wars. Now we have a Department of Defense. We don't declare wars, and we're warring constantly against people all over the world.
Right. Since it was the War Department in World War II, and it became the Department of Defense thereafter, could you please tell me how, since it was renamed the Department of Defense, that the $1 trillion a year that America spends between its military and its spy apparatus, which is controlled by the military, can you tell me a single instance when that $1 trillion a year was deployed defending America? It is the Department of Defense.
It's not defending America. It's defending the financial interests of the stockholders of major corporations. Just, you know, just read Smedley Butler's War is a Racket. It's going on back at the beginning of the 20th century.
I'm sure that's part of it, but part of it also is that if you take some of the more aggressive people out of the general population, you put them in a command and control construct, and you send them overseas, then, you know, you have diminished the risk of revolution, here. And, who can fight against the government when the government has a larger military than the rest of the world combined? It puts the average guy that would say, you know, I don't like what my government is doing. What are your chances of prevailing against your government under those circumstances?
Right. And you'll notice the appeal is always to the defense of American interests. These people just have, you know.
I'd ask you, Glenn, did you have any interest in Afghanistan?
In the off chance that I might need some morphine, I really want pharmaceutical companies to have ready access to opium poppies.
I was saying when we did make certain that the supply of poppies and the primary use, of course, is to create heroin. It produces before we invaded Afghanistan, they had essentially eradicated their heroin production. It was the Taliban did away with it. After we invaded Afghanistan. Afghanistan now is supplying about 90% of the heroin for Europe. So, we'll call that one a tie. How about in Iraq? Did you have any vital interest in Iraq?
Well, I mean, those people do have the gall to be situated over our oil. You know, so when these people are sitting on top of our, I don't know how our commodities got under. It's really obnoxious of them to do that.
Yeah, I didn't know you owned an oil company. All right. How about Somalia? How about Pakistan? Any vital interest there?
I don't think so.
So it's the word weasels will come up with the justifications, but those justifications, American interests, that language only works. It's kind of like Muhammad with his Quran, where he justified robbing people and killing them and enslaving them in the in Badr with the 8th surah. That kind of stuff only works if you're sharing it with people who are dunderheads, who are thoughtless morons.
And since we don't know anything, we're in grave danger, yeah. Now, Pakistan, we do have to keep Pakistan kind of on uneven, unsteady footing. We don't want them getting too strong and taking on India over the Kashmir thing. I think most of that back around 9/11, and you know, we got to keep that nuclear Muslim nation, you know, just stable enough to keep it from making trouble.
So let's infuriate the Taliban, and that's the perfect way to do that.
Yeah, because then they're disruptive within Pakistani society and the government.
Returning to the drones, it is obvious that we have manufactured 100 more enemy than we've killed with our drones, and that by using our drones and by completely foregoing due process, indictments, trials, and convictions, and deciding who we wish to kill and where we wish to kill them, we have become an immoral and murderous nation.
Which process I maintain began as soon as the ink dried on Woodrow Wilson's signature on the Federal Reserve Act. Because at once then we were in a place to borrow money for wars, and we've been borrowing money and building military and doing this stuff the whole 20th century. And it's just now it's at a deafening crescendo, and it's confused and crazy.
Right. You know, when I did my study about 2 years ago, on America's wars, what I found is we had engaged in 101 wars over the first 400 years. Now, America's not 400 years old, but it is from the time that the first settlers from Europe came here to colonize North America. We have fought 101 wars. That's one war every 4 years. The pace is actually increasing now. We are the most warlike people in the history of mankind. I mean, the only civilization that could be considered more warlike. And I did a thorough analysis. I chronicled every war that Rome fought throughout its history. And Rome fought an average of about 10 wars a decade. So we're at about twice the pace of Rome. Now,
so we are basically a mercenary entity for the
central bankers. Yeah, and it is true that there is a direct correlation between central bankers and war, because there is almost no country that pays for wars out of its revenues. Almost all nations throughout time have either borrowed to perpetrate war, or they have robbed others to perpetrate war, plunder being the purpose of war. One of the two things, and it is borrowing money that empowers and enriches central bankers. So you're right. The Woodrow Wilson, 1913, signing the Federal Reserve Act, which is neither federal nor are there any reserves, that was word weaseling. That exacerbated a lot of this problem. One of the odd stories of our time, NBC News anchor Brian Williams took himself off the news. He took himself off the air. And the reason is because Brian Williams lied. He wanted to make himself appear like, you know, he wasn't just a news reader. Yeah, because what do those guys do besides put on a nice suit or a nice dress, wear their fancy makeup, and read the news off of a teleprompter? The skill set is looking good from the waist up and being able to read effectively, while not having your eyes appear to move as you're going across the line of the teleprompter. That's essentially it. And by the way, you know, it's not difficult. The camera actually sits behind the teleprompter screen. So you look right at the camera, not even knowing the camera's there, because you're just simply looking at a screen with the news you're reading moving down it. No big deal. But to make himself look like he was your trepid reporter, that he was actually a journalist, you know, he went to Iraq. And just going to Iraq to interview other people in front of a teleprompter and a staged set wasn't journalistic enough. No, that wasn't heroic enough for old Brian Williams. So Brian Williams, he invented a story. He said that, you know, when he was in Iraq, his helicopter was hit and ablaze with rocket fire, and that, you know, he barely survived the forced landing because his helicopter was under rocket fire. Only one problem. It wasn't true. And of course, the guys that were over there in the military that, you know, were being devoted to ushering around a news reporter. I mean, so here these there were a bunch of helicopters and a whole entourage that were flying the NBC news team and Brian Williams around. He couldn't, of course, drive in a Humvee. No, he had to fly in military helicopters. That there was a helicopter that was hit, but about an hour before his took flight, and his was never attacked, never under attack. But it's amazing that these people who have no connection with the truth in their news have no connection with the truth in their own lives.
Well, you know, you gotta be a helicopter hero to get along with the beautiful girls. Hillary, well, he was probably taking a cue from Dan Rather, who pulled this kind of stuff going out in the field years ago. They were calling him Dunga Dan. And then he decided to end his newscast with the word courage. And then it all just blew up in his face. Not so much a scandal. And Hillary Clinton was outed for lying about her landing in Bosnia. She said, oh, they didn't have a welcoming ceremony. We had to scramble for cover. And then they showed, somebody did a story and showed this, the footage of the welcoming ceremony. So she lied. So basically, we're surrounded by inveterate liars.
That is correct. Anyone for the U.S. government, whether they in the media or in the military or in politics. If their lips are moving, they're lying. You know, it's it is about 15 years ago, I came to realize, because like most people, there are certain subjects that I'm pretty well versed on. You know, when it comes to flying, I can read an article on an aircraft accident, and I can know, I can recognize how much of the information being presented in the article is accurate and inaccurate. You know, I'm a scuba diver. I can do the same thing with diving. I can do the same thing in horticulture. I'm fairly well versed in plantings and gardening and landscape and that sort of thing. You know, so there are certain things that, you know, I've come to know reasonably well over time. A bit of a student of history. And, of course, in business, you know, I've started four companies, took them from inception to $100 million companies, you know, hired a lot of employees. I know business pretty well. And what I came to realize is that about 80% of what you read in the news is either inaccurate or bears no purpose other than to create a false impression. About 80%. It's just pathetic how dishonest the news media is.
Yeah, they there's so much for it being, you know, a watchdog or, you know, worth the stage or whatever.
Yeah, wholly incompetent. You know, like one of the great examples is, of course, their Islamic reporting, where they're incapable of or unwilling to ever listen, you know, ever to check, fact check. When a cleric makes a statement and say, you know, Islam is opposed to decapitation, they're opposed to mutilation, and they won't even bother to do a fact check and say, well, you know, in the Islamic scriptures, is there an endorsement or a prohibition against those kinds of things? Total and complete incompetence. Those are lies of omission as opposed to just commission.
Yep,
we'll be back after the news.
Some.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't trust your media.